Good evening, everybody. It's good to see everybody tonight. So, this afternoon, I was sitting down reading through my Bible, figure out what to speak about, and Tiffy came down and sat beside me. And so she wanted to go through and read Cain and Abel because they learned about that in Sunday school. So we went through and we read Cain and Abel. And then I asked her, well, what should I talk about? And she said, she goes, Ruth. And then she goes, oh, well, no, Cain and Abel. So we're going to talk about Cain and Abel because that's what they were learning about in Sunday school. And it's good to go over. Cain and Abel is a good example in the Old Testament, and then there's teaching that uses it as an example in the New Testament. So we'll read the Old Testament story, and then we'll go work through some teaching in the New Testament that cites it as an example. So, the story of Cain and Abel is found in Genesis chapter 4. We could turn to Genesis chapter 4. And we'll just go ahead and read the story. Okay. Now the man, in Genesis 4, chapter 4, verse 1, says, Now the man, that's Adam, having come to know Eve, his wife, she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from Yahweh. And she went on to bear his brother, Abel. And Abel became a feeder of sheep, whereas Cain was a tiller of the ground. So it came to pass, after certain days, that Cain brought in of the fruit of the ground a present to Yahweh. Abel also, even he brought in of the firstlings of his sheep and of their fat. And Yahweh approved of Abel and of his present, but of Cain and his present he approved not. And it angered Cain greatly, and his countenance fell. So Yahweh said to Cain, Wherefore hath it angered thee, and wherefore hath thy countenance fallen? Shall it not, if thou do right, be lifted up? But if thou do not do right, at the entrance a sin-bearer is lying. Unto thee moreover shall be his longing, though thou rule over him. And Cain said unto Abel his brother, Let us go into the field. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. Then said Yahweh unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? He said, I know not. The keeper of my brother am I? And he said, What hast thou done? With a voice the shed blood of thy brother is crying out to me from the ground. Now therefore accursed art thou from the ground, which has opened her mouth to receive the shed blood of thy brother at thy hand. Though thou till the ground, it shall not go on to give its vigor to thee. A wanderer and a fugitive shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said to Yahweh, Greater is my punishment than I can bear. Lo, thou hast driven me out this day from off the face of the ground, and from thy face shall I be hid. So shall I become a wanderer and a fugitive in the earth, and it shall come to pass, whoever finds me will slay me. And Yahweh said to him, Not so. Whoever slayeth Cain sevenfold shall it be avenged. So Yahweh set for Cain a sign, that none finding him should smite him. Okay, let's go through this story now. So Adam and Eve had their first child. Their first child, its name was Cain. And when God had driven them from the garden, of course, Adam's job was to till the ground and to keep it. So naturally, Cain became a tiller of the ground. And then they had another kid, that was Abel, and he became the watcher over the sheep. And in due course of time, they both brought a present to God. And Cain brings what he had, the fruit of the ground, and Abel brought what he had, the firstlings of his flock and of their fat. Now, it says, we'll not go there, but it does say in Hebrews that in the Great Faith chapter, it says, By faith, Abel brought to God a fuller sacrifice than Cain. So Abel had some understanding of what God wanted. And he had some knowledge of God. How he got that doesn't really tell us, but he brought a fuller sacrifice than Cain. And so God approved of Abel and his offering, but of Cain and his, he didn't approve. Didn't have any regard for it. Wasn't what he wanted. What it didn't do nothing for him, you know. That made Cain mad. So Cain got angry, and it affected his face. He got angry, and it showed on his face. So God said to him, Why are you angry? And why, I mean, you're angry. You can see it on your face. And he let him know what was going on. And this is good for us to know. He says, Shall it not, talking about your face, shall your countenance not, if you do right, be lifted up? In other words, if you do good, won't you be happy? So he's trying to let Cain in know something. When you do something and it doesn't work out, and it doesn't happen, and you get that frustration that comes, and that comes on you, and it affects you, you got to understand something. If you do well, if you do right or good, you're not going to get that. You'll get the happiness. You'll get the, oh, good job. You'll get those feelings. When you haven't done good, you get that. And when you get that, he goes on to let him know. He says, if thou do not do right, a sin bearer is at the entrance. I love how the New American Standard puts that. He says, sin is crouching at the door. If I read in my notes, it says literally that's what it's like. The picture it's trying to portray is as an animal crouching. Its desire is for you. It's right there. It wants you. But you can master it. But you can overcome it. Cain did not overcome it. He had that anger within him. And because of that, he lashed out against his brother. And he slew him. Of course, then God goes on to ask him, where's Abel? And he goes, I'm not my brother's keeper. Right? And God lets him know, hey, his blood's screaming to me from the ground. Something very wrong had been done. And then Cain became cursed from off the ground. An interesting side note is in verse 8 there, and Cain told Abel his brother, is how it would read in the New American Standard. And Cain told Abel his brother. In other versions, it'll say, and Cain said to Abel his brother, let us go into the field. That, let us go into the field, that's not present in one of the old scrolls. You know, they have the old scrolls that they translated from. In one set of those, that's not there. In the other four of them, I think, it's four or five, it is there. So, either way, they went out into the field and Cain slew his brother. So what I want to get from this is understanding that when you do good, you become happy. When you don't do good, that's when the frustration comes. And there's an opportunity there for then us to become angry and lash out in sin. That's not what we want to do. It's not what we want to do. Let's move forward now to the book of Jude. The book of Jude is one of the places that cites the story of Cain, specifically. And the book of Jude is a warning. Jude is writing this book as a warning. He says in verse 3, he says, although I was using all diligence to be writing to you concerning our common salvation, yet I have had necessity to write at once to you, exhorting you to be earnestly contending for the faith once for all delivered unto the saints. For there have crept in unobserved certain men, who from of old have been publicly notified for this sentence, ungodly men, the favor of our God turning into wantonness, and our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ denying. So in Jude, he has felt the necessity to write to them at once, because there are people that have crept in and they are messing it up. And it's bad, so he's writing to them. So, in Jude, in chapter 1, because that's the only chapter, in verse 8, we'll pick it up here. He says, in like manner, nevertheless, even these, in their dreamings, flesh indeed defile, while lordship they set aside, and dignities they defame. Whereas Michael, the chief messenger, when with the adversary disputing, he was reasoning about the body of Moses, durst not impose upon him a defamatory sentence, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these, whatsoever things indeed they know not, they defame. Whatsoever things naturally like irrational creatures they well understand, by these they are bringing themselves to ruin. Alas for them, because in the way of Cain have they gone. In the error of Balaam's wage have they run riot. And in the gainsaying of Korah have they perished. These are they who, and then he goes on about bad people here that are going to be religious people. So what I want to focus on is, in the way of Cain have they gone. What is going in the way of Cain? Going in the way of Cain is when you don't do good and the frustration comes and you lash out. It's going in the way of Cain. And he gives an example here. He says, these, while lordship they set aside and dignitaries they defame. What's lordship? Think authority. dignitaries, people in eminent position, they defame these people. He says, and then he compares that to Michael, the chief angel. When Michael, the chief angel, was arguing against Satan, Satan's obviously bad, Michael did not dare impose upon him a defamatory sentence like, you're a wicked, evil, bad, awful person. He didn't do that. He said, the Lord rebuke you. Okay, so that's how the chief angel would do it. He wouldn't impose a defamatory sentence. But these people are the type who would defame dignitaries. See the difference there? So what happens? What happens? People in their lives, however they're living their lives, are not living it good. Because they're not living it good, they get the frustration. Because the frustration comes, they lash out. And you start to hear stuff like, these evil people, they're taking all my money and taxes, and you hear all that stuff. Do you know what I'm saying? He goes on to say, in verse 16, he says, these are murmurers, complainers, according to their covetings going on, blah, blah, blah. We don't want to go in the way of Cain. When we do good, our countenance will be lifted. When we do not do good, we will get the frustration that comes with not doing good. And the cure for that is to realize to do good. Whenever I think of this, I think about myself when I was three. When I was 3 years old, I had an episode that I feel parallels this. I went the way of Cain. I was 3 years old and I remember it distinctly, that I had a tricycle and I had a wagon. And I decided I wanted to hook my wagon to my tricycle. So I took my wagon and I pulled it up to my tricycle and I set the handle on the seat. And it didn't hook. That made me mad. Because it didn't work. So I got mad and it didn't work. It wasn't working. So I got really mad and my answer for this, with this anger, was I walked out into the middle of the street, I pulled down my pants, I pulled down my underwear, and I started screaming at the top of my lungs. That's what I did. And I also distinctly remember our parents' house was the gable end, and there's a window right there, and I remember my dad's head going boink up in that window, and I remember going pop. Then I remember being hauled up the stairs and beaten. And Dad always gave us 3 swats, and I got 5. Thank goodness, to save my soul from the fire. Because that was going the way of Cain. I didn't do good. I didn't do it right. You can't hook a wagon to a trike by setting the handle on the seat. And the answer for that is not to become angry and lash out in anger. The answer of that is to have to learn to do good. See, by faith, Abel offered a fuller sacrifice than Cain. Abel had some sort of knowledge and understanding of God and who he was and what God wanted in a sacrifice. And so he was able to bring a good sacrifice. See, I would have had to grow as a person and learn what it would take to hook a wagon onto a tricycle, like a piece of rope or a twine. It could have been done. So in our lives, in whatever situation it is, when we feel ourselves becoming frustrated and feel ourselves becoming angry and it's affected the look on our face, understand, there is sin crouching at the door. It wants you. But you can master it. So now let's turn over to the book of 1 John. In the book of 1 John in chapter 3, also he uses the example of Cain. And we will pick it up in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 10. 1 John chapter 3 verse 10. He says, herein are manifest the children of God and the children of the adversary. Whoever is not doing righteousness is not of God, nor yet he that is not loving his brother. Because this is the message which we have heard from the beginning, that we should be loving one another, not just as Cain was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And for what cause slew he him? Because his works were wicked, whereas those of his brother were righteous. Be not marveling, brethren, if the world is hating you. We know that we have passed out of death into life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not abides in death. Whoever is hating his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has life age during within him abiding. Hereby have we come to understand love, in that he, Jesus, for us his life laid down, and we ought for the brethren our lives to lay down. But whoso has this world's goods, and beholds his brother having need, and shutteth up his tender affections from him, how is the love of God abiding in him? Dear children, let us not be loving in word, nor yet with the tongue, but in deed and truth. Hereby shall we get to know that of the truth we are, and before him shall persuade our heart. Because if our own heart condemn us, greater is God than our heart and perceives all things. Beloved, if our heart be not condemning us, boldness have we towards God. And whatsoever we are asking, we are receiving from him, because his commandments are we keeping. And the things that are pleasing before him are we doing. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and be loving one another, just as he gave a commandment unto us. And he that keepeth his commandments in him abideth, and he in him. And hereby perceive we that he abideth in us, by reason of the Spirit which unto us he hath given. So in this passage, Cain is also used as an example. He says, herein are manifest the children of God and the children of the adversary, the children of the devil. He says, he that is not doing righteousness is not of God. It's pretty simple, right? Nor yet he that is not loving his brother. So here we see that he ties doing righteousness and loving your brother together. He says, this is the message we have heard from the beginning. What is the message which we have heard from the beginning? That we should be loving one another. Not just as Cain was of the wicked one and slew his brother. That's the opposite. The opposite would be to become angry. He says, what cause slew he him? Because his deeds were evil, whereas his brother's were righteous. Cain was evil. Therefore he became angry, lashed out. Abel was righteous. Therefore he got to know and understand God and offered a good sacrifice. Whereupon he received witness that he was righteous, it says in Hebrews. Because he did good. He goes on, and he says, be not marveling if the world is hating you. People hate. So don't be surprised when people hate you, like Cain hated Abel, because they're wicked. He says, we know that we've passed out over from death into life. How do we know? This is interesting. How do we know that we've passed out from death into life? How do we know we've passed over from death into life? Because we love the brethren. Because we love the brethren. That's how we know we've passed out over from death into life. He says, he that loveth not abides in death. And whoever is hating his brother is a murderer. We see that from Cain. Because he became angry, he killed. He said, we know that no murderer has life within him abiding. So hereby have we come to understand love. This is how we understand love. Because, I mean, he just said, we know we've passed out from death to life because we love the brethren. Okay, well, what is love the brethren? Now we're going to define love the brethren. He says, in that he for us his life laid down. So we come to understand love in that Jesus laid down his life for us. And we ought, for the brethren, our lives to lay down. And then he gives us a practical example. This is what he means when he says, this is how you lay down your life for the brethren. Whoso has this world's goods and beholds his brother having need and shutteth up his tender affections from him, how is the love of God abiding in him? That's another rhetorical question. It's not abiding in him. So a practical example of how we love the brethren is if you have the world's goods, and you behold your brother in need, and you don't help him, you do not have the love of God abiding in you. If you're not taking care of their practical, physical needs, you're probably not going to be able to take care of their spiritual needs. You probably need to get your spirit right. He says, if you behold your brother in need and you have the ability to help and you don't help, how is the love of God abiding in you? It's not. He says, let us not be loving in word, nor yet with the tongue, but in deed and truth. I'd like to put in there, in practice and for real. In deed and in truth. He says, if our own heart condemns us, greater is God than our heart and knows all things. If you have doubt within your heart whether or not you're good, God knows that. And he also knows why you feel like that. And that's not a good position to be in. He says, beloved, if our heart be not condemning us, boldness have we towards God. And whatsoever we are asking, we are receiving from him, because his commandments we are keeping. And the things that are pleasing before him we are doing. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of Jesus Christ and be loving one another, just as he gave us commandment. Here we see that he ties believing in the name of Jesus Christ to loving one another, just like he told us we should do. That means if you say you believe in the name of Jesus Christ and are not loving the brethren, in other words, helping with their practical, physical needs, you're not really believing in the name of Jesus Christ, because that's what he commanded us to do. You can't say you believe in him and not do the things that he commanded. We cannot say that we believe in him and not do the things that he commanded us to do. I'm reminded, there's been times in my life where people, some of the brethren, have helped me out with my practical physical needs. The example I'm thinking of specifically is the Wilsons. They helped me with some practical physical things that I had when I was a younger, newer Christian, that if they had not helped me with those, there wouldn't be any helping me with any sort of spiritual needs that I had. It just because I had practical physical things I needed help with. He says, he that keeps his commandments in him abides, and he in him, and hereby perceive we that he abides in us by reason of the Spirit which unto us he has given. When you have the Spirit within yourself of helping people, of helping the brethren, notice that as we go through there, it's the brethren. We love the brethren. We lay down our lives for the brethren. That's who we're helping, specifically, from this chapter. Now, don't take me wrong. I don't want to discount. Do we love the lost? Yes, we love the lost. Should we help the lost? Do they need taught? Absolutely. Absolutely. What in the world are you teaching if you don't love the brethren? It's an interesting thing sometime. Type, go to like StudyLight.org. You have to go classic.studylight.org now because they changed it. Type in love the lost. You will get zero results. Type in love one another. You will get results. Type in love the brethren. You will get results. Go read those passages. See what God is telling you to do. See, we do not want to become like the religious people of Jesus' day, who nicely set aside the commandment of God for the sake of their tradition. We do not want to become those that try to say, oh, I'm seeking saving the lost, I'm helping the lost, whereas we don't even recognize the needs among the brethren. I mean, if you see a need and you don't help it, that's bad, but what if you don't even see the needs? Then that's really not good. Are there needs among us? Do people have needs? Yeah, there's needs among us. If we can't recognize and help our group out and learn to love one another, how are we going to go out and reach the world? And how is God going to be giving us the things that we are praying for? And it's all too easy to abdicate our responsibility to love one another because I don't have time, because I'm busy. Don't do that. He specifically commanded us to love one another. He specifically commanded us to lay down our lives for one another. For one another. Let's be doing that. I gotta hold up Mr. Dave Dobson a little bit, even though he's not here tonight, in his work with Michael. he's kind of taking care of him. You know? That's kind of a, it's kind of a big chore. I mean, I look around, I see Schaefer's. They took care of Dave. That was kind of a big deal. When he was hurt like that, got his arm blown off, and needed all that help. They took care of his practical, physical need. Right now, Dave is taking care of Michael's practical, physical needs. And he is a tough old bird, and he can be a handful. Especially for a guy with one arm. So, I guess my encouragement to us as we go forward is let's think about Cain and Abel. Understand when you're getting that frustration and lashing, it's affecting your face. Like people could look at you and say, you're upset. Sin's at the door, and you need to master that. And you master that by understanding it and doing it right and doing it well. There's something you're not doing right that's causing you to have that frustration. When you do good, you won't get that. When you do good, you'll get the feelings of happiness. Even though negative things are happening to you, like imagine Jesus on the cross. Very negative things were happening, but he wasn't lashing out. There was not anger affecting his face. When there's anger affecting your face, you got to master that. Got to. So that's the first lesson I want to learn. The second lesson I want us to learn is that God has commanded us that we love one another. That we see each other's practical, physical needs and lay down our lives in order to help them. So let us be doing that. That's all I got. Thanks.